Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is JT. I'm one of the pastors here at Freshwater. Typically, I'm the teaching pastor. So if you're new in particular to Freshwater today, man, we're so glad to have you. Hear me, I would love to meet you after the service. I got to meet some people before the service. I would love to meet you after the service. I always like to meet people and find out how they ended up here because sometimes I get some crazy stories. I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit later today. It's just insane. So if you have any questions about Freshwater and just like to meet me, I would love to meet you. So come find me after the service. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out, or your phones, pull them out and turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to spend almost our entire day in 1 Thessalonians 2 today. So here's what's happening. Over the next 2 weeks, we're really going to look back at where we've been over 2018 and kind of where we're going in 2019. And so today is a really kind of a recap, a look back at 2018 in particular. Man, it really is. Today is going to be time for us to celebrate what God has done, to be encouraged, but also to look at like where we can still grow, where we can still move, where God's taking us. And then next week, we're going to really focus in on 2019. If you've been with us, you know we're walking through the book of Romans, and we took a little break for Advent and for these two sermons, 2018 this week and 2019 next week. But then we'll be right back in Romans in one of the toughest passages in Romans. But Romans is about to get really good, I promise. No, Romans 3 is really good too. It's just tough. But Romans 4 into Romans 5 is just amazing. So I can't wait to jump back into Romans. But until then, let's look back today and let's look forward next week. So here's a little disclaimer. If you're new to Freshwater today, if you're visiting today, today we're really going to be having a family discussion. We're going to be talking about what God's doing in our family. And so I don't want you at all to feel like you're left out of that conversation, though. That's not what I mean at all. Because if you're at Freshwater for the first time, or you're just trying to figure out if Freshwater's the kind of church you'd want to be a part of, or just trying to learn about us, it's the perfect time for you to be here. Because you're going to really hear about where we've been, what we're passionate about, where we're going. And so I'm glad that you're here today. As I line some of the things out today, like I said, it's going to be a family discussion. If you have any questions about anything I said or what I meant, because I'm not going to spend as much time talking about specifics as I normally would, please come find me after the service and ask me, because there's always a ton going on in our church. We're so involved in the community, and I want you to understand who we are and where we're going. So let's start with this. Most of you in the room know our mission statement, right? Our mission statement is glorify God and advance the gospel. And if that's any way, that's kind of a churchy way of saying it, glorify God and advance the gospel. But really all that means is everything that we do at this church primarily, firstly, is about giving God glory. It's about worshiping God, right? There's lots of stuff in the Bible that we're supposed to do, but we exist to give God glory. That's everything, every mission thing we do, every ministry, the first thing we ask people is, how's this going to give God glory? And then secondly, our call is to advance the gospel. And so how that plays out practically is in Hebrews and Colossians and other places in scriptures, it says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. You want to see who God is? You want to experience his glory? God sent Jesus Christ so that we could experience his glory directly. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, he lives in you now. So you can experience the glory of God. And when we advance the gospel, what are we really advancing? Jesus and his story. So that's why every week at this church, it comes back to the gospel. It comes back to Jesus every single week because he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature. You want to understand who God is, all you have to do is look to Jesus and you can understand who God is. Like people say all the time, well, how do you know that? You can't really understand who God is. How do you know? Like, why would you even say that? Scripture says very clearly that we can know who God is, right? We may not be able to understand the fullness of everything that he is because he's God and we're not. But God absolutely wants us to understand who he is. That's why he came down out of heaven and Jesus Christ and died for us on the cross to save us for our sins and so we could experience God directly. He lives inside of you. Don't let anyone ever tell you, we can't really know who God is. Not true. Not true. We can know who God is. And that's why we make it about Jesus every single week. So, our mission statement is glorify God and advance the gospel. But within that, there's a verse that has defined us as a church. There's lots of verses that have defined us as a church, but one in particular that's defined us as a church ever since we launched. And it's this one. Open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, if you haven't turned there yet. And look at verse 8. This is a defining verse for our church. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So that's kind of the heart of what we're going to be discussing today, like really what that means and how that affects us as a church, how it defines us, and it's going to continue to define us as we move into the future. But before we really dive deeper into that, I want you to really understand the context of the book of Thessalonians that the Apostle Paul wrote to the city of Thessalonica, to the church that was there, because I think if we understand the context and why Paul wrote the letter and really what he was trying to communicate to the people of Thessalonica, it's going to help define who we are as a church and why I say this is a defining verse of what we do as a church body. Does that make sense? So here, let me give you a little context. Thessalonica was this thriving Roman port city at the kind of the peak of the Roman Empire power. And the reason it was like culturally thriving and economically thriving and 100,000 people lived in that city, which is a huge amount of people at that time in the ancient world. And one of the reasons it was so popular, so culturally relevant, is because it was like a port city right in the middle of the western part and the eastern part of the Roman Empire. So tons of trade flowed through Thessalonica. So it ended up being a pretty influential city, a pretty wealthy city, a culturally relevant city. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans that we've been going through, went to this city, just walked in the city and started preaching as he does, right? Went to the synagogue and then went all over preaching the gospel. And this church started, and it was a really successful church. I mean, it blew up. And so as the Apostle Paul does, he'll come into a city, he'll plant a church, he'll start a church up, raise up other pastors, other elders, and then he'll move on to the next one. And if you weren't aware, that's where we get a lot of the books in the New Testament. Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians, these are all churches that Paul started and moved on, and that's one of these churches. So at this point, when Paul's writing this letter, he started the church in around the mid-40s BC. This is probably early 50s BC, and he's writing a letter back to this church. Now, this letter was mainly one of encouragement. Like, it's kind of similar to Philippians in that way, right? Philippians is very much an encouraging book, because a lot of the books that Paul writes, he's writing to address very specific issues in the church to help correct them and point them back to Jesus. Well, the book of 1 Thessalonians was really meant to be an encouragement. He wanted to help restore their faith and hope in Jesus Christ, because here's what's happened. They've been under very heavy persecution and lots of affliction, but also they didn't have a real clear understanding of when Jesus was going to return, and so they had lost some really important members of their church, some really influential, and I say influential not in the bad way, but in the good way. They loved them dearly, and they were leaders in their church, and they died, and they didn't know what that meant for them. They didn't know what it meant about Jesus returning, and so Paul is writing this letter to kind of correct about what it means when Jesus is going to return for us again, the second advent we talked about last week, right? But he's mainly writing this to encourage them, to remind them of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ, and to remind them of who they are in Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to the way that he talks about this church. Because you always, when Paul intros his letters, you always hear his love for the church in general, but specifically for the people that he pastored there. He still loves them deeply. But listen to the way he talks about this church in particular. Flip back to 1 Thessalonians for me. And we're going to read in verse 6. We're just going to read three verses. But listen to the way he talks about them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became imitators of us, us being Paul and the people he brought with him. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with joy, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. I don't know about you, but as a pastor of a church, as being a member of a church, man, I think that Paul couldn't say anything more encouraging to me. Can you imagine if that's how Paul, he wrote a letter to us and that's how he talked about us? He's basically saying the stories of your love through for each other through affliction, your joy in the Holy Spirit, even though you're under heavy persecution, all these things are happening to you. The way that you love each other, the way you love your community, is the word of the gospel is going forth through all of the churches because of you. And not just in Macedonia and Achaia where they are from, but like everywhere I go, people are talking about your church. So much so that Paul says there, I don't even have to tell them about you because they've already heard. Like, how amazing is that? Like, he's saying, not just in your city, not just in your region, but everywhere I go, they know about your church because you love God and you love each other, even in all this affliction, even in all this pain and suffering. They've heard about your love, and it's encouraging saints everywhere. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you love that to be the story of your church? You know what it reminded me of? Church, it reminded me of you. A far from perfect church that we have here, but it reminded me of you. You know why? In the same way Paul is talking about here, I have seen the gospel go forth and God's glory be made known in ways that I never, ever expected when we planted this church, in ways that I wasn't even really praying for. We just asked God when we started this church to do more than we could pray for. And guys, he has done more than we could pray for. And your faith, and we're going to talk about how, is encouraging saints in a lot of other places that you never and I never would have expected because God has been so good to us. And you know what I love about it? It's not because we put on amazing service. I mean, look around. We probably should have stuff sitting right here, right? To make it look a little bit better. But like, that's not who we are. We don't care about it. We want our money to go into the community. We want our money to be invested where it matters. And it'd be okay if we had more than this lonely Christmas tree right now that his kids did, right? But that's just not who we are. We don't put on an amazing service. We don't have, like, our worship team is awesome, but they don't try really hard to make you think that they're awesome. They just want to worship God, right? So it's not because we have an awesome service. It's not because we put on a great show. It's not because we have a ton of money or draw great crowds or have a nationally known preacher speaker. The reason that people know about Freshwater Church is because of the way that you love God and the way that you love each other and the way that you've loved your community. And how awesome is that? Right? And I think a lot of you don't know that your faith and what you do, because this church asks a lot of you, doesn't it? The New Testament asks a lot of us. And so we ask a lot of you. And I know sometimes it gets to be a lot, but some of you don't even get to see how your faith, your faithfulness to God and loving people, loving your neighbor as yourself, is encouraging saints everywhere. It's blowing my mind. Like, listen, your faith is even encouraging people who don't believe. You know, some of our biggest helpers over the last 3 years that have donated things for us and helped us out with what we do in the community, they're atheists. Multiple atheists have been willing to give us things for the things that we do and part as we partner in our community to help us out because your faith in Jesus Christ is helping restore their faith in Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? They have no faith in the church. So many people have no faith in the church anymore, except your faith is giving them more faith in the church. It's so incredible. I wanted to give you some examples. So I just kind of walk through some things that have happened in 2018, some of my favorite things, and to show you what I mean. So most of us know in the room, if you're new, you might not know this, that our plan is to move over to Freeway, which is the Freeway building, which is going to be the old bowling alley on Kearney Street when they're finished. They were supposed to be finished in November. So we'll move when they're done, right? Sometime in the first half of this year, we'll move over to Freeway. Do you know how that happened? Because I've had a relationship, we have had a relationship with Freeway, but it wasn't close. I didn't know John Stroop, the pastor at Freeway, really, really well. I knew him, and we talked a few times, and we'd served at Freeway a few times. But I got a call out of the blue one day. Have you guys heard this story? Completely out of the blue, John calls me, like one night at 8:30. Had no idea that they were renovating the building, had no idea they were looking for a building. And he called me and he said, JT, I've been asking around and here's what's happening. We're going to be renovating the bowling alley. We're going to do, you know, this new building. God's been moving. And I started asking around who should partner with us because we want that building used on Sunday morning because Freeway uses on Saturday night. And he said, when I asked around, your name kept coming up over and over again that you were the people we need to ask because you love the north side of Springfield like we do. Would you want to move in? Would you want to have Sunday mornings? That's how that happened. John heard about us because he'd asked who should be in there with you? And people kept saying, oh, Freshwater needs to be in there. By the way, he told me some of the people that said Freshwater needed to be in there with him. I didn't know who they were. I never heard their names. Some of them I did. Like he called, you know, the head of the Greene County Baptist Association. He knows us. But he asked some other people that I don't know who they are, but they said Freshwater should be in there with you guys. They have a heart like you do. Like, how awesome is that? And like, God does things like that all the time. And you guys, I don't do enough to share with you. Like that kind of stuff happens to me all the time. I'll give you another one that's just encouraging this year. This is a huge encouragement to me. I think I've said it to you. I'm going to say it again. We're supposed to be out of this building next week. Did you know that? We had an agreement with the Dream Center. We'd be here till the end of the year because they want to use this space to renovate it to do other things with it, right? Because they're not a church. The Dream Center is this is a community center now, but we get to use this building. And they said, hey, as long as you guys are out by the end of the year, that's okay. And I said, what if we go a little over? They're like, that's okay. We know that you're waiting on Freeway. So I had a meeting with the Dream Center a couple weeks ago with Andy from the Dream Center to basically apologize. And for those of you who know, have I said this from front? Do you know what he said to me when I apologized? He's like, oh, don't apologize. We don't want you to leave. I'm like, what? He's like, no, we love you guys. We want you to stay. We love having you in the building. I'm like, I thought you want to renovate the space. He's like, we did, but we'd rather have you instead of renovating it. So if you stay, we'll take care of you and we may even lower your rent. Just stay. He's like, I know you've made a commitment to Freeway and you need to honor that commitment. And Freeway is counting on us to be there, right? They need the rent from us to be able to survive, right? So they're counting on us, but the point is not that we're going to stay at the Dream Center. The point is that if the thing with Freeway falls apart somehow, like our relationship with them won't fall apart, but if somehow it doesn't work for us to move there, we can stay here. Do you know, a year ago, we got too big for Williams and had no idea what we were going to do. We knew we needed to get out of Williams and we had nowhere to go. Now we have two places with two amazing ministries that want us, both want us there. How amazing is that God does that? How amazing is it the Dream Center said, we love you, we want you to stay. And he said, man, every time you guys do something, it's a blessing to us. Every time you guys use the building, you leave it better than when you left. Nobody else does that. We love you, stay. It's amazing. I mean, God's so good to us. Right? It's because of all of you that's the truth. Man, that was one of the most encouraging things to me. Completely changed. We want you to stay because we love you. Not because you pay us rent, but we love you being in here. So amazing. Here's another one. In the same way, we've known what Victory Mission does for a long time. You guys know about Victory Mission? They work with a lot of homeless and people coming out of prison and the addicted, and they have a program for them, and they have a place where homeless people can sleep at night and you can go there and serve, and they do amazing work in our city, right? But we've never had a super close relationship with Victory Mission. I've known Jason, the head of Victory Mission, for 3 years. We've really encouraged each other. We've been at some of the same meetings. I really love his vision for Victory Mission, but we've never been really connected. But one of the things Victory Mission does around Christmas and Thanksgiving is they hand out free meals, you know, like Thanksgiving meals and Christmas meals. And they've asked us 3 years in a row, do we want to do that? And I've said no. Do you guys know why? Nothing. Listen, I want you to hear me. Nothing wrong with handing out Christmas meals. If you've been to another church or you go to another church that does that, praise God for that. I'm praise God that Victory Mission does it. There's people that need to eat. But from the very beginning, we've been very careful of our relationship in the neighborhood. We don't want to be the church that hands things out to people. You know why? Because it creates a relationship of us and them. The have and the have-nots. We have something you need, and we can fix that problem. And we don't want that. We want it to be us. And that's what our relationship with the neighborhood, with Williams Elementary and Tom Wonka's neighborhood and Victory Mission and Community Partnerships of the Ozarks, it's been, for the last year in particular, us. Us as a community coming together. A lot of you in the room live in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, right? Some of us do, some of us don't, but I want it to be us making the community better and making much of Jesus Christ, not us giving you things that you need. And so I told Jason, I love what you do, but that's not for us. We want to do some more things with the community. And out of that, Jason hearing that and having the same kind of passion, he created this idea of community meals. Do you know how that played out for us? Cookies and cocoa with Santa. Right, we've done cookies and cocoa with Santa for 5 years with the Neighborhood Association, but this year, Victory Mission said, you know, they invited me to, this is how this happened, I got invited to a meal, like a lunch meeting with Victory Mission. I didn't know what they wanted. Like I said, we don't have a super close relationship, and they sat down with us and two or three other churches and one other nonprofit and said, this is what we're doing, we want to present it to you because we know how much you love your community. And so we got asked to be at that meeting because they've heard about what Freshwater does. They've heard about what you do and how much you love God, love people, and love your community, and said, we're going to make free meals, and we want to hand them out to you so you can have community meals with your neighborhoods, with your community, so you can bond over those things. And I said, what if it could be as big as 300 or 400 people? And they were kind of like, yes, we got you. And that's what happened at Cookies and Cocoa with Santa. 400 people came to Cookies and Cocoa with Santa and had a meal together. And a lot of you got to sit down and meet people and hear their stories and share Jesus Christ with them. And that night was very much us loving our community together, wasn't it? It wasn't us and them. It was us all sharing a meal together. And then what we got to do is say, hey, we got tons of leftovers. If you'd like to take leftovers with you, we'll pack up meals and you can take them with you. And it wasn't us handing out meals. It was, we've got leftovers. Take them. So nobody felt like it. You know, there was no that disconnect. That's what we want to keep working towards. And so that was just another thing. Victory Mission had heard about what we do, and they said, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of what your church does. How can we bless you? And they blessed us, didn't they? Just amazing. Here's probably my favorite moment of this last year. That's not true. There's been people coming to Jesus Christ were my favorite moments. Like, there's some stories I can hear about people coming to Jesus this year. It just makes me want to cry, right? But one of my favorite moments this year was when Jeff and I were at a meeting hosted by Springfield Public Schools with the school board, and there was a bunch of other people there. And Jeff, weren't you there representing the park board, not Freshwater, technically? It's always both for you, right? He's freshwater, but he works for the park board. But the people from the city were there. There were people that owned businesses that were there. There was lots of nonprofits there. All kinds of churches were there. The school board was there. Administration for Springfield Public Schools were there. Teachers were there. Principals were there, right? And it was a meeting all kind of coming to fruition about how can we work together to make our community better, particularly starting with schools. And you know our heart for Williams Elementary, right? That's where we've been for 5 years. And one of the things that we prayed and we talked about and we prayed over and we thought about is that we knew we were going to be in Williams Elementary from before we even got in Williams Elementary, if you've ever heard that story. We knew that's where God wanted us, and that was going to be the heartbeat of that neighborhood. And it was. It's the heart of the neighborhood. And we said at the beginning, if this school doesn't say, I have no idea what we do without freshwater within 5 years, we haven't loved them like Jesus Christ loves them. We just haven't done enough. And we just need to be honest about it and figure out how can we love them better in a way that they have no idea what they do without us. And about this meeting was about 4.5 years into our church. They asked Miss Webb to speak at that meeting, to talk about her school partnerships in the community. And she stood up and said, we love freshwater dearly. She's like, don't you dare try to take them from us. They are ours. Don't you talk to them. And then she said, I have no idea what we do without freshwater. It was like this unbelievable moment where I saw God answer prayer, because from the beginning, our relationship with Williams, as you guys know, if you've been here, we messed it up so many times trying to do the right thing. We were just failing and kept moving forward, like fail, move forward, to the point where we're learning how to love them well. And to hear Miss Webb stand up there and repeat the very words that we prayed for at the beginning, we have no idea what we do without freshwater, was just like this moment of God, just like felt like God did a miracle. Right, that he brought us together. So I know sometimes a lot of you in this room don't get to see the daily work that goes on in Williams because you're at work, right? But your commitment to things like cookies and cocoa, to after school, that the end of the school bash and the beginning of the school bash, and how we feed the teachers and how your life groups take once or twice a year, take notes and little presents to all the staff. And it all just sometimes feels like a lot of work, doesn't it? Like just one more thing that you have to do. Church, I'm telling you, it makes a difference. Miss Webb stood up in front of like all of these leaders in our community, and the love of Christ was shown because she said, this church does this thing for us. And everyone in the room was encouraged by your stories, by what you have done, because of what God has done through us, that he has worked through us through all of our failures and all the stupid mistakes that we've made along the way. He's continued to build us just to follow him, to love him and love people, and it's working. And God's moving. It's incredible. Man, I have so many more of these, and we don't have time. So let me just give you a couple more. Do you know how many times over the last couple of years organizations and churches have asked to work with freshwater? That just blows my mind, because so many churches, and I'm not even knocking them, because every church has their own mission and their own vision, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But most churches are very focused on what they're doing. They're focused on themselves. And over the last 2 or 3 years, particularly this year, we've had so many churches come to us and say, hey, can we work with you on the north side? Here, let me just list a few churches that asked to work with us. Fountain of Life, Hill City, shout out. We got some Hill City people here today. Hill City has been an awesome partner. James River, Redeemer, St. John's Chapel, just to name a few of the churches that have worked with us actively. And I have a meeting in 2 weeks with Spring Hill Baptist. Have you ever heard of Spring Hill Baptist? Spring Hill Baptist called me and said, hey, we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to work with you on the north side. If not partnering directly, could you just help us understand the north side of Springfield and help empower our people to love the north side of Springfield well, right? We need to fight back the things on the north side that are dragging the north side down. Jesus has obviously called us to that, right? We are to love the poor without exception, without hesitation. We are to engage the darker places in our city. That is the New Testament. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He went and he preached the gospel, and then he healed, and he served the poor, and he loved people, and he ate with the prostitute, and he ate with the tax collector, and all the religious people freaked out. But Jesus didn't only preach the gospel, he healed as he went. He healed as he went, and that's what we are called to. And churches have seen that, and it's stirred their hearts for what the New Testament just so clearly teaches. And they said, can we learn from you? Can we partner with you? And I think, how ironic is it that churches are asking us if they can learn from us? It's so funny, because at the beginning, we had no idea what we were doing. God was just faithful to us, and we just said, we're going to keep going, God. We're not going to stop. We're just going to keep being faithful. And God has taught us a little bit along the way, and it's encouraging saints all over our city. It's incredible. I mean, who are we? Who are we that's happening? We're nobodies. In our little church on the north side that doesn't even have their own building, but God is using us. And then lastly, I kind of said this at the beginning. Do you know how many times, this last year in particular, new people have come to our church? A lot of times, it's when new people come, it's because family got invited, or a friend or a coworker or those kind of things, the things that you would expect. But you know how many times this year somebody's come to our church and I'll say, oh, how'd you hear about us? And they'll say, oh, this church or this pastor or this person from a place that's more than an hour away and that I've never heard of. That happens to me all the time. Like people from more than an hour away, from churches more than an hour, from pastors, from people more than an hour away say, oh, if you go to church in Springfield, you got to go to Freshwater Church. That's where you need to be. And I don't know who they are. And I don't know how they heard about us. And I don't know the pastor and I've never heard of the church, yet they're recommending our church. That's unbelievable. Church, I said this a second ago, I'll say it again. I know sometimes Freshwater can feel time consuming. And then we ask you to give a lot. And sometimes you get worn out. And sometimes, man, you just want to stay home and for things to be comfortable and really easy. But as I say all the time, where in the New Testament do we see easy? Right? We don't want to burn anybody out. We want to protect you and guard you. Because listen, preaching the gospel and this right here being healthy is the most vital thing. Because if we're not healthy and you're not filled with the Spirit, right, and you go out there and do good work, then who cares? If you're not filled in the Holy Spirit as you go out and do good work, who cares about it? It doesn't mean, it may help one person one time, but in the long run, we're not trying to do social justice. We're trying to make much of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ is not stirring in your heart, then who cares? But listen, we don't want to burn you out, but God has not asked us, He has not called us to easy. And I want you to hear today in particular, what you do matters, church. Is encouraging saints in our city. It's encouraging saints in our region. It's encouraging saints from places I've never heard of. It's encouraging saints in Africa and in Haiti and in the Middle East who follow us and who love us and are being encouraged where they are because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Church, I love you and well done. Now, don't mishear me. I said this multiple times. I want to make this clear, especially if you're new. We are very much an imperfect church. We have so many places that we need to grow, so many places we need to mature, so many places we just need to be better. So it's not about us being right or having it figured out. But like Paul saying to the church that he planted, I want to encourage you today. On the days when life is hard, on the days when you are worn out, on the days where you've just lost a little bit of your passion for the mission that God has called us to, the mission that He's called this church to, the mission that He's called all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, I just want you to remember days like today. Remember how faithful God has been to us. Remember how God has used us to strengthen us, but strengthen saints throughout our region, throughout our city, from all over the place, how God is going to continue to use us in 2019 because He is answering prayer miraculously. As I said, I said a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to talk about it next week, I had no idea where to lead us next. I knew where we needed to go in general, but I had no idea how to take the steps. And so I just prayed, and God said, how about this, this, and this? Does that work for you? Yes, God, that works for me. God is God. He just took care of it. And my failings as a leader, not knowing where to step next, God said, here, I'll take care of you. We'll talk about that next week. I hope it encourages you because it's awesome. So that's kind of where we've been in 18. Does anybody remember? Our mission statement for this year didn't change, but does anybody remember what our focus for this year was that we started at the beginning of the year? We had a couple classes on it. Evangelism, right? We talked about evangelism. We in life groups for 6 to 8 weeks, we focused on evangelism. Some of you extended that out further. So, and when we say evangelism, if you're new to Freshwater, what we mean is relational evangelism. We don't mean pounding people over the head with Jesus Christ, like just having this agenda of like, when am I going to get Jesus in? When am I going to get Jesus in? I got to give them this presentation. What we meant was that you are intentionally meeting people to build relationships with them, to actually hear their story, listen to them. To hear where they've come from and where they've been and where they're at. And if you hear things like they're talking about how they've lost hope or they don't know where to go, to have the courage in Jesus Christ to open your mouth and say, I know what true hope is. To say things like, I've been through hard things and I don't know what I would have done without Jesus Christ, and this is what He did for me. Being willing to open your mouth and talk about Jesus when the Holy Spirit prompts you, because if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He just will. It's whether we had the courage to open our mouths and talk. And so we talked about that. That might be at work. That might be with your friends or family. That might be in Tom Watkins' neighborhood or Williams Elementary, right, in our community. Or listen, it might be on Sunday morning. And just having an evangelistic atmosphere here. Or even on Sunday morning, when you see somebody new, your natural inclination becomes, hey, I want to go talk to them and learn their story. Man, maybe they're going to be a part of our family. I want them to be a part of our family here. Let me get to know them better. So, how do you think we did in this area this year, church? don't have to shout it out. How do you? But what do you think? I see some of you are like, and some are like, you know what? I think we grew a ton this year. Because you know what? Evangelism is something you just figure out, is it? It's a learning process. Just like learning to be a disciple of Christ is a process. And so I would like to say, man, I have seen way more of us pursuing this intentionally. Like way more people this year breaking away from the safety of their little group at community events and walking over and meeting new people and getting to know them and asking about their lives and spending 15 minutes and sometimes ending up praying with them and talking about Jesus with them. I saw way more of that this year, way more than last year. Do we have room to grow? Of course we have room to grow. All of us have room to grow in evangelism. We'll have room to grow for the rest of our lives. As your pastor, I have tons of room to grow, but I saw way more people breaking away. I saw way more people, I had way more people sharing stories with me this year about encounters they had and how they talked about Jesus and how they were shaking and they were nervous, but I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me to speak and I didn't want to speak, but I knew I had to speak and I opened my mouth and I got to talk about Jesus and it actually went okay. Awesome. There was so much more of that going on this year. And another thing I saw way more of this year was that evangelistic attitude on Sunday morning, right? Breaking away and going and talk to people and meeting people. Now, every church is hit and miss on this, but I've had so many people this year, new people say, man, this is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been to. And if you're new today, and our church kind of missed you, I apologize. Like, we love you, and we want you here. We want to be a part of family, especially, right, I don't know about today, but man, everybody's coming in here with a hangover. I can see it on your faces. Right? It's just a Christmas hangover, but way better. I had tons of people come up to me. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I think the person in the room might remember this. They're in the room today. I'm not going to look at them, make them feel awkward. Just 2 weeks ago, I walked up to someone and we started talking. I was getting to know them and I was like, man, if you really want to know what Freshwater is about, man, if you really want to experience the family, you've got to go to a life group. Like, you can come to my life group. That's where you really find out what we're about. And they're like, that's awesome. I've already been invited to two today. Awesome. And like, because if you just walk up and say, hey, my name's JT. Hey, my name's Kayla. Cool. You want to come to life group? That's awkward, right? You invite people to life group when you've been talking to them, when you've kind of got to know them, when you're making some connection. You're like, hey, why don't you check out our life group? That only happens in a non-awkward way if you've made connections, which means you're trying to make more connections with people. People are feeling more like the family here right away, and that's awesome. But again, do you feel like you have room to grow in this area? Yeah, good. And that's okay, right? I don't think we're all called to be like the title in the scripture in Ephesians 4, evangelists, like that's all your natural giftings, but are all of us called to evangelize? Yeah. And so some of us in this room are going to be super gifted at it, and some of us in this room are not. But God uses both. Like I've shared the story over and over. One of the worst conversations I had about Jesus, the one that I regretted for 20 years, ended up helping lead someone to Jesus Christ 20 years later because he could never let go of that stupid conversation I had with him because Christ is bigger than my stupid conversation. I mean, I blew it. I've told you before, I blew it. And some of you, I've heard stories of people being led to Christ with someone, and they even told me what they shared with them, and I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. But it led them to Jesus. It was as we talk about, it was a rock in their shoe that person couldn't kick out. They kept stepping on until eventually they had to do something about it, and it was one of the steps that led them to Jesus Christ. And I've seen a lot more of that. You guys just willing to open your mouth, and it's awesome. So, but I want us to keep moving forward in this. Relational evangelism. And so I think Thessalonians 2:8 is kind of the solution to that. Here's what I want to do. I want to read it one more time, but I want to read it in context. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, but this time we're going to start in verse 1. And I just want you to hear the way Paul talks about sharing the gospel, the way that Paul talks about loving people well and building a church and reaching the lost. Listen to this. So 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, that was from the Philippian church that Paul wrote a letter to and started a church there, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Now listen to this. I just love it. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Here's three things I got out of that passage this time. I've read that passage so many times, but here's what I got out of this time when I was praying over it and working on it. One, where to share the gospel with other people. That means just to open your mouth and talk about Jesus, what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life, who he is. It doesn't mean a gospel presentation. It might mean that, but it just means being willing to open your mouth and talk about the thing that's supposed to be the most important thing in your life. Right, we sing songs about how Jesus is my foundation. And everything I have, I give to you. But it's not true. But we're trying to make it true, right? It's supposed to be. That's what we're striving for. So it's that you'll open your mouth when those times come. And listen, when things are really great in your life or when things are really, really difficult, we open our mouths and we speak the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of us disengage when we're going through really painful things. But you know, in reality, it's one of the most powerful times in your life. Right? We want you to be able to deal with your pain. It's okay to be angry or hurt or even a little bit bitter for a time when you're going through suffering and not understanding. All those things are okay. But if through that, through your pain, through your suffering, through whatever you're going through, if you can still stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and say, I may not understand, but my hope is in Jesus, and that cannot be taken away from me. I know my Savior is with me, and he is for me, and I may not understand, but he does, and that's enough for me. Do you know how much power there is in that? Because the one thing that's going to unite all humanity, why sin still reigns here, is suffering is always going to exist. There's always somebody going to be suffering. Whether it's you now or someone else later, suffering unites us all. And God can move in powerful ways when you suffer well in him. And when I say suffer well, again, it doesn't mean you do it perfectly. It doesn't mean you don't have dark, dark days. But it means that you rest your hope on Jesus Christ, and when the time comes, you're willing to open your mouth and talk about what Jesus Christ is doing and that he's your hope in those times. It's one of the most powerful times you'll ever have in your life. Hear me, church. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. Do not waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. It's too powerful. God uses it in too many powerful ways. Don't waste your pain. The second thing I got out of this is, as we share the gospel to please God, not to please man. Seems obvious, right? Yet, we are so scared to open our mouths. We're so scared that we won't know what to say. We're so scared of looking stupid. We're so scared of what people are going to think of us. We're so scared of offending other people with our belief in Jesus Christ. But Paul specifically said there, I didn't come with words of flattery. I didn't come for my own glory. I didn't come trying to impress anyone, he says in other places in Scripture. I didn't even come with big words. I came with simple words. Why? Because I want to point you to Jesus Christ, because I'm not here for my own glory. I'm here to please God. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. Listen, church, are you going to live your life for what you know God wants, for what you know pleases God, or are you going to live your life afraid of what might offend someone else? Like, think about how crazy that is. If you're a Christian in here, and if you don't know this, I hope that you do, we all know very clearly what we're called to, don't we? Go and make disciples of all nations. Be a light to the nations. Share Jesus Christ. We all know that's what we're supposed to do. We all know that it pleases God. We all know that's what we were built to do. Is there anybody in here that has a doubt of that? I don't think you do. And if not, let's sit down after the service, and I'll walk through Scripture with you, and we can talk about it. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. I want you to see it in Scripture, and I want you to understand. Because just because other churches don't focus on it doesn't mean that it's not what the New Testament commands us to do. We all know it's true. Yet, we don't live for what we know God wants. We live for what other people might think. How insane is that? And I get it. I understand. I'm not even coming down on you. I totally understand it. But do you know how many times when I've shared the gospel with people, and I say share the gospel, again, I had a gospel-centered conversation with people. I've laid out the gospel for people. I've laid out the gospel in from Genesis to Revelation before in about 7 minutes and seen them saved. That's happened to me. But I've also seen people encouraged and come to Jesus Christ by just sitting down and having a conversation with them and just to encourage them. I'm not going down Romans Road. I'm just talking to them about who God is and who he is to me and who he is. And they're led to Jesus Christ. Right? So I'm not asking for this big conversation. But listen, do you know how many times someone's gotten offended when I've talked about Jesus? I don't know, 3 or 4? Ever? I talk about Jesus a lot. And even, you know, like if you're new to church here, I didn't want to be a pastor. I was a business guy for 14 years, right? I've only been a pastor for the last 7 years. I've only been a full-time pastor for the last 3 years. So don't say, well, you're a pastor. I wasn't a pastor. I was just like all of you with a regular job, but God got a hold of my heart and I started talking to him in the corporate world where I could get fired. We're all scared of getting fired or written up or whatever, right? In the corporate world, I talked about Jesus all the time. I can remember two or three times. I can remember like one or two times where somebody got offended. I can figure like three or four times where I could tell people didn't like it. Now, I've had plenty of times where people, I was talking to them about Jesus, and they were just like, whatever. I could tell they were like, mm-hmm, okay. They weren't offended. They just were like, I could tell they didn't care. And I've had lots of conversations where people very much cared, and it was very much an encouragement to them. What are you actually that worried about? How many people know someone who's been fired for talking about Jesus too much? Raise your hand really high. Would you look around? Who's been written up at their job for talking about Jesus too much? Okay. Who at their job has ever gotten a warning? Just a warning from someone. Right? No, seriously. If you've ever, a warning. 2.5. 2.5 warnings. Not written up, not fired, not like, but of those people who raise their hands, who of you have seen God actually move through you talking about Jesus at work? Yeah. Listen, what are we afraid of? Our excuses, man, I got to keep going. This is not part of my sermon at all, but listen, our excuses don't hold water at all. Do you know why? Because we already know what Jesus has called us to. We don't have to wonder. We can wonder what people might think. We can wonder that. But we don't have to wonder. We don't have to think about what Jesus has called us to. We know very clearly. So what are you going to live to please God or please or in the fear of man? I want you to take that to heart today, church. And I don't want this to be me coming down here. I want to encourage you because we've grown a ton of that in this last year. But don't let those lies from the enemy, those excuses, well up in your heart and tell you that they're reality. They're not reality. And even if someone does hate you for sharing the gospel, so what? It says, for those who are persecuted or hated for my sake will have rewards in heaven. Praise God for that. As long as you were gentle and kind. If you were a jerk, then just stop talking, right? But if you're gentle and loving like Paul's talking about here and somebody rejects that and rejects you completely, praise God. Praise God. I've seen probably the most hard-hearted person I've ever known be saved. That might be a rock in their shoe that they can't get rid of, even though they came across as hating what you said. Okay, I've got to move on. That's the second thing. We share the gospel to please man, or please God, not man. Third thing, last thing from this section. Paul shared the gospel through a genuine, affectionate relationship with people. Now, I know the part of, if you've never read the Bible especially, the part about the nursing mother might sound weird, but who is more gentle and kind and loving than a mom who is in the nursing stage with her children? Right? Moms have this special connection with their children, especially if they're nursing with their kid, like they're actually giving them life, right? There's just some special connection. And it's so funny, there's so many moms that know it's time to let go of that. And they're like, I don't want to stop, right? They're like, well, your kid's 4.5. You gotta stop at some point, right? But there's this special connection that I think us dads just could never really understand, right? Growing that baby in your belly and then nursing them. There's just something that moms have that the rest of us could never understand. That's what Paul's talking about here. Being gentle and loving like that. He's like moms are giving their babies life. And listen, church, you have the thing that will give people life. There are so many people spiritually dead out there, and you have what will give them life for an eternity. There is nothing more important than that. So be gentle and be kind and be loving, but be bold in what God has called you to because you're giving life to people out there. So what does it look like to actually love like Paul is talking about, to share the gospel he's talking about? Let's read verse 8 one more time. I know this is the third time, right? This is how important this is. I want you to memorize this verse. Read verse 8 and all of that with all that context one more time. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. All right, so here's the time for honesty. I want us all to be honest. Don't think about your husband or your wife or your friend or your mom or your dad or whatever. I want you to think about you. How often do I say that at church? Think about you. All the time we're like, don't think about you, think about God. I want you to think about you for a second. Do you think you view Tom Watkins Neighborhood or Williams Elementary or the north side of Springfield in particular in that way at all? Is there any part of you that is affectionately desirous, that longs to share not only Jesus, but your own self? Listen, that means giving of yourself to people in the place that God has called us to. Yes, I want you to do it with your family first. I want you to do it with your friends first. I want you to do it at your workplaces first. But God has specifically called us to the north side of Springfield to fight back darkness. And there is darkness here, church. That's what he has called us to. Is there any part of you that actually longs to love the poor in that way? Do you at all feel affectionately desirous for the area that God has absolutely called this church to? It's always been the call of our church. It'll continue to be the call of our church. There are over 2,000 verses in the New Testament about loving the poor, the needy, the orphan, the widow, the sojourner, the refugee. 2,000. More than almost anything. Is your heart stirred at all for that? And I know we all, listen, I know we all have a tremendous amount of growing to do in this area. We live in one of the safest countries ever, right? We are safe here. We are protected here. It is easy here. I'm not saying your life's easy, but compared to people starving and everything, I'm not saying that we don't need to glorify that or say that their faith is better or worse. But listen, when we live in a place where it's a little bit easier, it's harder to see the need for some of these things and what God's called us to. It's just the reality of it. It's not good or bad. It's just the reality of where we live and who we are as Americans. But is there a part of you that seriously desires to love the poor as God does? To see the lost come to Christ as God does? To love your community the way Paul is describing here? And hear me. Church, this is why I love you. I think the answer for a lot of you in this room is yes. That we all have room to grow here. We all want the heart of Jesus Christ. We all want to pour out our lives in some way, but we all know we need to grow in that. We need to give more. We need to have our hearts open more. We want to love more like God, but we all need to grow. But I think the answer for you is a lot of you, yes. And maybe it's just a little piece of you that longs for this in your heart, absolutely longs for it. Or maybe it's a huge portion of your heart that you're one of those people that want to sell your home and move into Tom Watkins' neighborhood and give your life just pouring out to people in the community. We're all on different parts of the spectrum, but is there any part of you, maybe a smidgen or maybe a huge part of you, that longs to love the north side of Springfield in this way, the area that God has called us to? I think for a lot of you, the answer is yes, and praise God for that. And praise God for that. But I think there's some of you, if you were honest, the answer is no. Not really. Not really. And so if your answer is no, not really, and listen, I'm talking to family today. I'm not trying to exclude newer people here today. I don't know where you are because you're just newer. You're visiting. But for those of us that are family, that have been at Freshwater, that know what we're about, can I ask you, if your answer is no, why are you at Freshwater? Why are you here? And I know that might seem like kind of a shocking question. I'm not trying to offend anyone. Listen, I'm not trying to drive anyone away from our church. I love you. Wherever you are today, I love you. We love you. This is not me coming down on you and say, get out of our church. That's not what I'm asking at all. But the mission that God gave us is very clear. It's primarily about preaching the gospel, loving Jesus Christ, and building this family in a healthy way. But then he's also called us to go. So if you don't have a heart to go, if you don't have a heart to serve, if you don't have a heart for the poor, if you don't have a heart, then why are you at this church? Is it because you like the preaching? Or the way we do worship? Is it because of the community that we have here? Listen, if you love those things, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like I think I said before, probably the two most important things that we'll ever do at church is proclaim the gospel and worship Jesus Christ like we do on Sunday mornings, right? And then have the community that we have here to build a family when we're all together trying to learn what it means to follow Jesus Christ through the highs and lows of life. That's the most important thing. But secondarily to that, God has called us to go and make disciples and love the poor and serve the needy and reach the lost and be for the refugee. He's called us to do all of those things. All the time in Scripture, do you have a heart for it at all or not? I just want you to be honest, because if you can be honest and the answer is no, listen, that's okay. But let me challenge you. That is something that you need to pray over desperately. Desperately, because the call in the New Testament is so clear. Like, we can't even really argue or really debate. Like, people try to debate these certain passages well in context. No, we are to go. Period. There's no debating it in Scripture. If you read it, 2,000 verses, do you have a heart for it? I want this for you. Right? I'm not calling you out in a way that I want you to feel like you're lesser than anyone else. We all are at different places in our life. We all struggle with different sins and different places where we don't find our identity in Christ and different places where we need to grow. But if this is for you, I'm begging you to pray fervently over this, to take this to God and take it seriously and not love your life so much that you're worried what God might call you to if you start making these prayers. I was a business guy who had everything in life that I ever wanted, and then God took it away, and everything in my life is better. It's not easier, but I've had more joy in my life than I've ever experienced in my entire life when God took away everything I thought I ever wanted. It's better, not easier, better. It's like when Jesus says in John 15, he basically lays out, if you don't follow me, you're going to be cast in the fire, and I'm going to prune those who I love. I'm going to discipline those who I love. And he lays out all that you need to obey, and you're not a Christian. But you know what Jesus says at the end of that passage? I say all these things so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be full. God is calling us to these things because he wants to be in us, for his joy to be working through us, because he is our joy. He is our fulfillment. And if he is in us and working through us and training our heart to love the same things that he loves, our joy will be more full. You know, gosh, I got to quit going off script. Sorry, Taylor. Taylor's got to get out of here soon, one of our worship guys, but God's moving today. I went to lunch with Nolan, one of our members, the other day at grad school, and I saw one of the pharmaceutical sales reps that I used to work with 4 years ago. And I hadn't seen her in 3 or 4 years. And we sat down. I was like, sorry, Nolan, she's going to see me, and I got to go. So I went over and talking to her, and she's out of work right now. She got laid off, which was something that was always a fear when I was in pharmaceutical sales. And she said, how's it going at the church? Do you love it? Do you really love it? And I said, you know what, Jackie, I mean this completely. I could be offered any job anywhere in the world, business or church, for any amount of money, any amount of reputation or whatever, and I could easily turn it down. Like, I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I don't want anything else in this life but what he's called me to. And she started crying. I don't think she's a believer. She might be. She started crying. I didn't even know what to do with that. I'm like, that's not why I said that. Right? But I started praying for her right then. In my head, I started praying for her, and I've been praying for her ever since. Because she could see, listen, this is not about me. I didn't want this life. I never planned for this life, but she could see the joy of the Lord in me. And she could just see it, and she felt it. And I don't even know if she's a believer. Guys, God wants you to have joy. He wants you to experience him. And loving the way that he loves, loving who he loves, is part of you having that joy in you and your joy being full. And your joy being full. Church, we are to go and make disciples. We are to be the light of the world. We're to go to the least of these and care for the poor. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to share the gospel with others, but not only the gospel. We're to share our very selves, because the people that we're sharing the gospel with have become dear to us. Listen, dear to us. That's a whole different thing than sharing the gospel. It's people becoming dear to you, that you love them and you want that joy in Christ for them. So the challenge, that's the reason I came to this. I just want you to ask, what kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of church do you want Freshwater to be? Because I don't want us to lose vision like so many other churches. And I'm not saying we are better than worse than any church out there, right? But so many churches out there have lost their vision. When they started the church, they wanted to be a New Testament church. And they wanted to go and make disciples and get out of the walls and do all those things. But over time, they became a church club, where people came and they felt comfortable and it was easy and it was simple and they felt really good when they came, and then they went home all filled up. What I always hear all the time, I got to get filled up, which you do need to get filled up. I get what you're saying, but the church is not about you getting filled up. It's about you pouring out. And as you pour out, Jesus Christ will fill up. That's what it is. It's about you getting in God's word. It's about you praying. It's not you living your faith vicariously through me. That's not what our faith's supposed to be. It's supposed to be you filling yourself up, chasing Jesus Christ with everything in you, and your heart will be full. And I'm a part of that encouragement, no doubt. Sunday morning is important. You hearing the gospel is important, but it's you chasing Jesus Christ with everything in you, and this not becoming a Sunday country club, but us being a New Testament church. And the New Testament church is not calling us to easy. And listen, some days I wish it was. And I know all of you feel me on that one, don't you? Sometimes I wish our church was easier. and that it was simpler, and that God didn't call me to do the hard things. And he's calling us to really good, but also kind of hard things next year. They're not easy, but they're worth it. I cannot wait to tell you what God is already doing in Evan and I's life through what God's called our church to, but in particular, us to have been able to go. Us thinking that we were going there, right, to pour into other people that needed us. What a joke. I know that I was more encouraged. I can't start talking about next week, right? But me pouring out my life so often encourages me more than encourages anyone else. This is what God's called us to. I want us to be here because we want to live out the truths of this book. I want us to be here because we genuinely want to be more like Jesus Christ. And I want us to be here because we love God desperately, and through that desperate love of God, we desperately love who he loves. And church, from the first time we planted this church, we've known clearly that God loves this side of town. And when we came here, it felt pretty much ignored. You talk to people in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, Williams Elementary, they felt ignored. But I'm telling you, there's so many people on the north side that don't feel ignored anymore. And it's not just because of Freshwater Church. It's because of God working in Freshwater Church and through Freeway Ministries and through Redeemer Church and Victory Mission and Hill City Church and all these other nonprofits and churches that have been coming together over the last year in particular saying, we can do this together. And God's moving us together because we are not a church, Freshwater. We are the church. We are the church. And so next week, I'm going to share the ways that God's laid out the path before us and he's answered prayer. I pray that you'll come back. But until then, I just want this week, here's what I want you to do. How often do you actually do the things I ask you to do? I don't know, but I want you to do this. I want you to read 1 Thessalonians 2:8 over and over. I want you to memorize it. I want you to put a reminder on your phone to pray over it. Like, I want you to pull it out. Like, this is what George Mueller, one of just an awesome father of our faith, George Mueller used to do. He'd pull out verses and he'd pray over it and say, God, this is true. My heart might want to say that it's not true, but it's your word and it is true. Will you make this true in my heart? Because I don't think I believe it. You don't lie. So make this true. I want you to pull out 1 Thessalonians 2, and maybe your heart is not desirous to pour out your life the way it's calling you to, but God can change that. And if you memorize that verse, I promise you it'll pay dividends for the rest of your life. Over and over and over. I want you to memorize it. I want you to pray over it. I want you to beg God to make it true, to make it real. Set a reminder on your phone to pray over it every single day. So in the end, here's my point. Right, I gave you some challenges today, and I pushed on as hard today, but in the end, I want to encourage you, church. 2018 was a great year. And it was a tough year for us, too, right? We had one of our pastors leave. We had another pastor step down for the right reasons. We had his kids leader step down, and his kids kind of changed. Like, we had a lot of transitioning to the Dream Center. We had a lot of transitions, a lot of change, but overall, it was a wonderful year. God did amazing things, and he's leading us strong into next year. So, church, well done, good and faithful servants this year. Well done this year. Let's go into next year strong. Come back next week and let's talk about all the things that God is really miraculously doing to set us up for our vision for next year. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gosh, God, we are so thankful for you. God, who are we that any of these things are true? But we just ask you, God, so often to do more than what we can pray for. God, I thank you that you are faithful. God, even when we are unfaithful, you are so faithful. And so, God, I pray that you would not let one person in this room get puffed up with any kind of pride because of the things that you do with our church. We know it is only through you and for you. Most of us in this room today, I don't think even wanted this kind of church, didn't want to have to give this much of ourselves, but you have made it our joy to serve you, to love you, to love each other, and to pour ourselves out for the community. God, I pray that that would continue to be true. You continue to move. You continue to make much of yourself through us. A bunch of nobodies who are just willing to say, yes, Jesus, help that to continue to be the call of our hearts, just to say yes to whatever you call us to. God, lead us out of this year into next year. God, and help us to love you more, to love each other more, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus, I think everybody's life in this room has proven that we can't do that alone. So God, we just ask for help today. So God, we love you and help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.